This is JimBinbo.com e-news number 281, the 7th of May 2010. This e-news is read by JimBinbo's text-to-speech robot Jimbo, or Jimbot, if you prefer. As usual, there are 5 items, and 3 feedbacks in this issue of e-news. Item 1. Caring and Connected Capitalism. Permit me to preach a little theory on capitalism. Capitalism is based on the profit motive. The market is the only thing that controls growth and success. Capitalism does not demand ethics beyond what markets tolerate. If the market demands ethical behavior, then the markets will provide for those ethical concerns. In the purest sense, capitalism does not need governmental controls or interference. Capitalism itself has no conscience. It's the collective market conscience that makes changes. In the 1990s, Ben & Jerry's, the ice cream company, coined the term caring capitalism to illustrate its corporate stance of maintaining a social conscience. Some 20 years later, others are finally catching on to this concept. The former chairman and CEO of Coca-Cola is calling for companies to follow a standard of connected capitalism, and many high-profile corporate executives are joining this cause. Connected capitalism is a simple idea. A company must still turn a profit, but it must also use the weight of its brand, as well as its capital, to be an agent for positive change in the world. Worldwide, a new phenomenon is emerging, a new kind of capitalism, with a heart. Around the globe, this new capitalism is being pushed by the new middle class to move towards having a social conscience. More and more people think it is time for wealth to be distributed more equally. When more people think that way, markets will move in that direction. Item 2. The Sustainability Challenge. The lack of definition about what makes a product or process green has expanded the concept to include sustainability, which means meeting present-day requirements without compromising the needs of future generations. Some think that sustainability is primarily social responsibility, but that often gets sidetracked for short-term needs. My contention is that sustainable programs can be successful only if they are profitable. In their 1999 book, Natural Capitalism, Paul Hawken and co-authors suggest that competitive advantages and increased profits will result from properly valuing natural capital. Natural capitalism develops with 4 central strategies: resource conservation through effective manufacturing processes, reuse of materials in ways similar to natural systems, change in values from quantity to quality, investing in natural capital, sustaining natural resources. Today, most disposable consumer goods go to the dump. The solution is cradle-to-cradle design. Consider how nature works. Material resources continue circulating with healthy, safe metabolic processes. Industrial ecosystems must be designed similarly to use, protect, enrich, and circulate material resources. The key to complete sustainability is for end-of-life materials to be diverted back into the market. Reusing materials from previous generation products and next generation products and processes. The C2C model should apply to all forms of product and packaging waste. Here's a challenge to Chuan. Americans purchase nearly 3 billion dry cell batteries every year, and, in spite of regulations, recycle only about 2%. This means that thousands of tons of toxic waste ends up in landfills. Major growth and success awaits developers of disruptive technologies to solve this problem by extracting materials from spent batteries for reuse in other products. Item 3. America in 2050. In his new book, The Next 100 Million, America in 2050, Joel Kotkin forecasts the continued success of America at mid-century. He expects the U.S. population will increase to 400 million people in the next 40 years, and is optimistic that, despite current difficulties, the U.S. will emerge as the most affluent, culturally rich, and successful nation in human history. Demographic trends give America the advantage. The U.S. will continue to be nourished by immigration. The eclectic mix of many cultures will continue to make it adaptable and resourceful. Strongly capitalist policies will remain a source of continued prosperity. The presence of 100 million more Americans by 2050 will reshape the nation's geography. Scores of new communities will have to be built to accommodate them, creating massive demand for new housing, as well as industrial and commercial space. In an increasingly internet-connected world, people will move to the suburbs, small towns, and rural areas. Commuting will be reduced by bringing work closer to, or even into, the home. More energy-efficient means of transportation will emerge. Well before 2050, 20-25% of Americans will work from home. The growth of the suburbs does not mean that America's urban centers will shrink. The U.S. will remain a nation of great cities, engines of social, cultural, and economic activity. This optimistic scenario postulates the presence of a large labor force, people who are willing and able to work, the innate American sense of we can do it. The big question: are the American people ready to do with less today, to build a better future for the next generation? Item 4. Engineers. Re-engineer yourself. Engineering has an image problem. Surveys show that most people are not aware of what engineers do, beyond being involved in construction of machines and gadgets, rather than people. Actually, those ideas start with engineers themselves. It is their self-image. Engineers who advance to executive leadership can make a big difference. If you're an engineer and want to move ahead in your management career, you need to be constantly re-educating yourself in other disciplines. Here are some positive ideas on what you can do to re-engineer yourself. Reinvent yourself. Start digging into things that affect your company, beyond just engineering. If you are proud of the products you help develop, find out what it takes to make those products successful. Read the corporate business plan. Make an effort to understand other departments' goals and objectives. Don't get stuck on narrow details. Go beyond your own projects, see how everything contributes to the company's goals. Become more proactive by selling others to implement changes. Take time to talk with marketing on product requirements, work with manufacturing to optimize production methods and costs, be proactive with your product specifications. Get to know customers, people inside or outside your company. Go with salespeople to find out what customers are buying and why. Help make your products and your company successful. Re-engineer yourself. You will enjoy the growth and success that this brings. Item 5. How to improve your memory. In this age of distractions and information overload, it's hard to remember the names of new acquaintances, their phone numbers, and the sometimes overwhelming streams of information. How do you cope? There are many relatively easy mental exercises and strategies that can help you improve your short and long-term memory. Indeed, they can make the difference between feeling overwhelmed and confidently on top of things. Here are some tips and tricks that make me seem smarter than I really am. Use images and word associations to help remember names. Pick out the visual characteristics to help the name stick. The more creative and playful the image, the easier it is to remember. You probably already use a few tricks to help your memory. For example, how many days in May? You use the mnemonic 30 days in September, April, June, and November. Find more mnemonics for more things to help boost your memory. How do you remember numbers? Instead of remembering a string of 10 digits, it's easier to group them to remember smaller groups of 2 or 3 digit numbers. It's better than remembering a long string. The key idea is that you can reliably code both information and the structure of information. Train yourself, make the effort, and you'll find that you really do have a good memory. I've included some web links on my website with memory tips and tricks. As usual, there are 3 feedbacks in this issue of E-News. Feedback 1. Stanley Abbott thinks my reference to the focus on short-term profits is outdated. Says Stan. Today, when asked, what do we make? The answer seems to be, bonuses for the executives. Paying bonuses actually encourages inferior ideas. People go for the idea that will get them the bonus rather than the one that is better for the organization. Bonuses are often based on criteria that are easy to measure in the short run, not necessarily beneficial in the long term. Wall Street seems to have come up with ideas that bring bonuses. Detroit seems to have ignored what people want in a car. And then there's Congress. Can we really observe that they are faithful to the interests of their shareholders? Unless shareholders are defined as something other than the good of the people. And so it goes. Feedback 2. Bob Fritz, CEO of Optron, a U.S. manufacturer, writes about why manufacturing jobs are leaving the U.S. Bob says, "The tax against manufacturers is higher in the USA than in any other first world country, and it's going higher. The result is that some investments simply will not get made in the USA. Add to this the deliberate long-term destabilization of the U.S. deficit so that yet even greater taxes will be needed in future years, and it becomes less worthwhile to be an entrepreneur. Further, the U.S. refuses to allow foreign engineers and scientists to immigrate into the U.S. This is one reason why several large companies are exporting their R&D facilities. I don't think we'll ever get to the point that we can't afford to import essentials from China. Long before that, China will inform us, as a matter of courtesy, that their army is invading Taiwan to protect their interests." Feedback 3. Alan Corcoran discusses the easy route of firing people to maintain profits. Alan writes, "Kudos to Southwest for not laying off anyone and achieving major success. Any idiot can invoke the flawed, shrink to greatness theme. It does not require any specialized skills or experience. It is easy. The real leaders hunker down, roll up their sleeves, and fight and sacrifice for their employees. They do actual work, hard work, to navigate turbulent economic times. Ironically, the people who implement big layoffs are often recognized as being able to make the tough decisions, go figure." Well, that's this issue of E-News. Please send us your feedback. Tell Jim how you like me, his Jimbot text-to-speech robot. Send your email to jim@jimpinro.com. Thank you.